This is Roland. Today's topic is how to apologize and clear the air. This is a very important topic because a lot of people have a mistaken idea about how to go about apologizing to other people, and because of their mistaken idea, it makes them reluctant to apologize. Now let's cover the basics. First of all, apologizing is an important thing for a variety of reasons. The main reason is it clears the air of unfinished business. See, a lot of us have been on the receiving end of injustice. Especially when we were little kids, we were traumatized by injustice. A father who wasn't there for us. Some authority's anger, bossiness, or her confusion, or her coming between you and your father, or being rejected, being teased. See, so those were all injustice. And impatience. A lot of parents are impatient with their kids. Impatience is it's not a good thing because it actually indicates a lack of love. It's a little bit of hate. It's a little bit of resentment, actually. And when the child sees the face of impatience in the parent, it's very painful. And it does two things. Number one, it confuses the child. It makes the child think the child is wrong when the child isn't wrong. A lot of children will ask an innocent question and the parent becomes angry, as if the child had done something wrong for asking a question. You see what I mean? A lot of kids tell the truth. They tell the truth, and then they're punished for telling the truth. See how confusing that is? A lot of children are driven insane by that sort of thing. Or a child comes to the parent with some little question, and the parent is impatient. In other words, the parent doesn't have the love, doesn't have the time to devote a little time to the child's question. You see, these are all forms of injustice. And then there's tease. Parents teasing us, brothers and sisters teasing us, other kids teasing us. A lot of injustice. And then there's ambition pressure. Various forms of ambition pressure. And it's bad enough that parents, you know, send the kids off to some awful school somewhere. It's bad enough. But then the parents themselves pressure the children, pressure them to succeed, pressure them to do more, study more, work more, this more, that more, as if the parent were never satisfied. You know, as if it's very hard for the child just to be. See, kids learn at lightning speed, but they learn through a process of discovery. When you send a child off to school and the child is pressured there, the information is not presented properly. It's presented too much too soon, or it's made too slow and too boring. But it's just something's wrong about it. It makes learning what should be fun, it ruins it. A lot of kids develop learning blocks, which you can overcome your learning blocks if you have one. If you have a learning block, you can overcome it. It's, the secret is to let go of the resentment, to see what was done to you. See what was done, and then just don't hate them for it. Realize that it was done unto them. Okay? But now, so on having been on the receiving end of such injustice, now the question comes up, how many people will admit they're wrong? See, we have this ego. People have an ego, which is prideful and hateful and doesn't want to admit it's wrong. So a lot of times, the child is on the receiving end of injustice, and then everybody pretends like nothing happened. See? Some injustice, and then they pretend nothing happened. Or if there was an injustice and then you bring it up, then a lot of times it's twisted around to make it seem as if you're wrong. You're wrong for saying it. Or they try to make you think you're, confuse you and make you think you didn't see what you saw. You see how that is? So it's unfinished business. It leaves unfinished business when people don't admit what they did that was wrong. When they try to cover it up and hide it, when they excuse it, rationalize it, see? Pretend it didn't happen. Make it seem as if you're the one that did something wrong, see? So there's unfinished business. And so that tempts us to resent them. It tempts us to harbor a grudge against them. A lot of kids, they had a parent that was rotten. Dad wasn't there for them. Their mom was cruel. She beat them up, or she was an alcoholic, or she was a pill-coholic, or she was bringing strange men into the home, or she was confusing, or she rejected the child. And see, there's all these injustices. A lot of times then later, the child will say to the parent, well, you did this, you did this to me when I was a kid, you did this. And the parent will say, well, I couldn't help it, besides, you were no good. You were no good child. You know, all you did was make trouble. And see, or the parent will deny it. I don't know what you're talking about, the parent will say. I didn't do that. See, it's wall-to-wall confusion, wall-to-wall denial, wall-to-wall justifications and rationale, because she doesn't want to admit she's wrong. Or a father who wasn't there for you. See, he doesn't admit it. Makes excuses or goes off and will never admit that he's wrong. So it tempts you to hold a grudge against him. Now, the secret to your recovery is to forgive them, whether or not they ever apologize, whether or not they ever see that they were wrong. See, they may not even see it. They may be so lost, so confused, so possessed that they don't even see that they were wrong. But a lot of times they do see it. They know that they did something, but they just won't admit that it was wrong, see? So you have to learn to forgive them. In other words, just drop the resentment. Don't hate them for it. Don't hate them. See that they were victims. Somebody did it to them. Let it go. Let it go. Okay? Just let it go. And the way to let it go is to let go of the resentment. Okay? All right. So there you have the secret to your recovery. But like I said, so now I've been dwelling upon other people's injustice toward, you know, you, the listener, just to bring it clearly home how what a pain it is when another person won't admit they're wrong. Okay? So now that I've laid that groundwork, now you can see the problem with that. So now here's the thing. Now let's say you're an adult now. Let's say you're an adult, and now you've done some things. Maybe you had kids and you weren't there for your kids. Maybe you got a divorce. Maybe you were cruel to your kids, or you've been impatient with your kids. See? Or you were mean to your wife, or you were spiteful, or you were hateful, or you were selfish. See? Or you weren't there, or you did something you shouldn't have done. You see all these different things. Okay? And now you can see how what a pain it is to them if you go around and don't admit you're wrong. It tempts them to hate you. It tempts them to resent you. It tempts them to hold a grudge against you because there is an injustice and unfinished business. So finishing up with unfinished business is such an important thing. Christ even said that one time. He said, "When if you're taking your gifts to the temple," he said, "and you remember that you have an issue, some kind of an issue with your brother," he just using that as an example. It could be anyone. It could be your mother, father, brother, sister, neighbor. It could be anyone. But he said, if you suddenly remember you had an issue with your neighbor, then leave your gifts at the temple door and first go make it right with your brother. See? So all of a sudden you remember, hey, I did something to my brother. It wasn't right. Now you see it. Now you see it. See, maybe before you didn't see it or you were too prideful, but now you see it. Okay, so you go to your brother and you apologize. So now you see how beautiful that is. If you apologize, if you have some people that you weren't fair with, or you didn't treat properly, or you were impatient with them, or something or other. See how nice it would be to apologize, clear the air. See, it takes away the injustice because you admitted what you did. And now it gives them the chance to let it go. See, it's good for them. It's good for you. It's good for you to soften that ugly prideful thing that we have, that we need to eventually get rid of that, be rid of that. It's an ugly thing, and it's what kills us. Pride is actually the cause of death. See, so it's a very ugly thing. You let go of that pridefulness and humble yourself a little bit. Humble yourself before the truth. Okay, so now here, let's talk about that, about humbling oneself before the truth. One reason why a lot of us are blocked from going to admit that we did something to someone that wasn't right, we don't want to admit it, is because we're afraid. See, we don't want to humble ourselves to them and kowtow ourselves to them, you know, and admit we did something, because then they'll lord it over us. See, we're afraid they'll lord it over us. They'll take advantage. They'll use it against us that we, you know, apologized and so on. So we don't want to see them lording it over us. Okay? But here's the secret. Number one, see that it is good to clear the air. Okay, that is good. It's good for you and it's good for them. And number two, if you see, let's say, I'll just make an example. Let's say that a few years ago you were impatient with your kids. See, you were too busy, you were selfishly involved with something or other, and you cared more about your career or about something or other than about your kids. You made your baseball game too important, your friends too important, your work too important, and you were impatient with them. Didn't have any time for them. Now you see it. You didn't see it then. Now you see it years later. See, you're older and wiser. Maybe you listen to someone like me, or you read some books, and now you see it, okay? And it makes you sad to see that you were impatient with them. Okay? It makes you sad. You regret what you see about yourself. Now here's the beautiful thing. What you are seeing is in the light of truth. See, it is a light of truth. It's intuition, it's your conscience. Conscience and intuition are the same thing. The only thing is intuition is kind of when we see this and that, or realize this and that. See, which helps us to do things right, to live creatively, to move in the right direction. It's like present sight and foresight, our intuition. It's wordless. It's a gut level knowing. It's wordless. It's without words. It's a knowing without words, and it's from God. It's your intuition. God gives animals instincts. He gives humans intuition. Okay, that's how you can know which way to go and how to live. You can intuit the way. See, that's why he gives us intuition. But when we don't follow our intuition, and we do things we're not supposed to do, even if it's being impatient with someone or resenting someone, which are wrong, so, or taking drugs or being ambitious or being unfair or cheating or, you know, talking behind other people's back and gossiping, whatever it is that we've done. See, most of us have done hundreds of thousands. We've missed the mark. See, the old Jewish Hebrew expression for sin was to miss the mark. It's like an archery term. See, we've missed the mark. We've lived life a little bit off. No wonder we feel a lot of us feel anxious and a little bit uneasy, because somehow we're just not living properly. We're getting little things a little bit wrong. We can't see the subtle, perfect move. We don't see it. See, we're too lost in thinking. That's why you need to get the meditation. We're too lost in thinking and emotions, so we don't see the proper move. Okay? But your intuition is always there from God. He doesn't neglect you. He's always there. That's another way you can know that God exists and that he cares about you, because he gives you, now your conscience becomes hindsight. When you see in the light of truth, this light of truth, this wordless light, this light of truth, which is from God, it makes you aware that you did something that was wrong, that you didn't treat someone quite right, that you did someone wrong, that you weren't fair with them or whatever. Now you're seeing it in the light of truth. And in the light of truth, okay, in this inner light, which we call conscience when it's hindsight, we call it intuition when it's present sight and foresight, it's wordless conscience when it's hindsight. It's rubbing your nose a little bit. It wants you to make you aware that you did something that wasn't quite right. And why does it do that? So that you can see that it was that you erred, okay? So you can see that you erred and be sorry in your heart before conscience, before the light of truth. See? You're being sorry in your heart. You regret now. Now you regret. You see that it was wrong. Maybe before you didn't see it. Maybe you did see it and you didn't want to admit, but now you see it in the light of truth, and now you can be sorry, okay? That's called repentance. You feel you regret, you're sad over what you see. You're glad that you see it. You want to come clean. You're glad to come clean before conscience. So it's like a sad glad. See, you're sad about what you see about yourself, but you're glad that you see it and you're coming clean. Okay? So sweet. So you feel a little bit of shame, a little bit of embarrassment, a little bit of pain, maybe even a lot of pain. You did something that was really rotten. You were impatient with your kids for years, and now your kids are not doing so well. You see your responsibility in it. It's very painful. Okay? Just bear the pain. This is it's a chastisement from your Creator. It's within. Nobody else will know. Only you know. You feel it within. Okay, and just bear the pain until it refines into sense. And then the sadness, then there'll be a purging. See, if it's you did a fairly big wrong to someone, you hated someone. Let's say you see that you hated your mom or you hated your dad. Now it makes you sad to see that. You admit it, and you're sorry. It's very painful, okay? But it's only a temporary pain until it refines into sadness, maybe a tear. Tears will flow, and there's a purging, a catharsis. Now you let go of the hate. You're letting go of the hate. And now, okay, the sadness will refine into joy when you realize that you've come clean, you admitted you had made your errors, and now you're right with God again. It's basically what it boils down to. You're a friend of your conscience again. Now you can go forth in the world happily. So now joy will return. Because you saw your error, you were sorry about what you saw, and you regretted it. And now, see, you have cleared the air with your conscience, so to speak, and now you're a friend of God again. See, you're a friend of conscience, a friend of God. And He forgives you. And you sense that He's forgiven you. Okay, now you go out in the world and go about your business. And it's like a burden has been taken off of your shoulders, okay? All right. Now let's say that after this has happened, now you also see in the light of truth now, in the light of truth, which you saw your error, now you also see, you sense, you wordlessly see that you should go and apologize to the other person. Admit what you did and be sorry and tell them that you're sorry to clear the air. Okay? So now you go to the one that you wronged, whoever it might be, if they're there. They may not be there. If they're gone, you can't find them, or they've passed away, well, then you've cleared the air with your conscience and with your Creator. And now just go about your life and live properly from now on. Okay? But let it, they are there, and you can go and apologize. Let's say, okay, a small situation, not a real big one. We talked about a big one. Well, let's say it is a big one. Let's say you realize that for years you were impatient with your kids, and then you went off and your kids had a lot of issues, and you were unnecessarily harsh with them, and see, you weren't there for them, or whatever it was that you did. You fooled them, you confused them. Whatever you did, you rejected them, you were phony with them, you were impatient with them, whatever. See, you taught them to hate their father or whatever it was that you did. Now you go to your child, and if they'll see you, see, or you make an attempt to see them, to write, you, perhaps you, if you can see them, it would be better if you can see them in person. And if they will see you, see, they may hate you. They may not want to see you. If so, if that's the case and they don't want to see you, then you have to leave them alone. But if they will see you, then you say, when you were a child, this is what I did that was wrong. You say it. I did this and that, and I was impatient, and I was phony, and I did these things to you, and now I see that those were wrong, and I'm sorry. I apologize, and I'm sorry. Okay? Then at that point, see, now you've cleared the air. You admitted what you did, and you said you were sorry, and you meant it. You've cleared the air. At that point, they may cry a tear and say, "Oh, it's okay, Mom. I hated you, but I don't hate you anymore." And then you can be friends again. Or they may just say, "Get out of here and leave. I don't ever want to see you again." Or they may give you an earful. See, they may say, "Yes, you did those to me, and I'm glad that you're sorry. But you also did this to me, and that to me, and this to me." And when that happens, then you have to listen. See, don't argue with them. Don't let your pride puff up on you. Just listen, and if what they're saying is true, then admit it. Let them say what they need to say. Okay? All right. Now let's say it's a little thing. Somebody was going to get in line and you cut in front of them. And then you go away and then your conscience bothers you. Now you see that was wrong. What you did was wrong. Okay? And so the next day, here they come, and you see them, or they're sitting in the coffee shop, so you go up to them and say, "Excuse me, I would like to apologize to you. Yesterday I cut in front of you in line, and that was wrong. And then I tried to confuse you about what you saw and didn't want to admit that I had done it, and that was wrong too, and I'm sorry I did that. I apologize." Okay? Clear the air. Say what you did. Apologize and say you're sorry. And then take leave. Don't expect anything out of them. Don't want anything out of them. Just be ready to take leave. Most of the time, they know very well that you were wrong. They say, "Oh, that's okay." That's what a lot of times they'll say. They'll say, "Oh, that's all right." See, they knew you were wrong. You just didn't want to admit it. Okay? Now, that's the right way to apologize. Say what you did and say, I apologize, I'm sorry, and then take leave. See, don't expect them to anything from them. Now, here's the mistake that a lot of people make in big things and in big apologies and in little apologies. They make the mistake of saying, "Can you forgive me?" or "Will you forgive me?" Big mistake. That's a big, big, big mistake. Why? Because you're a temptation. You're putting them into the role of God. See, only God can forgive us. God forgives us. We sense that He's forgiven us within when we're sorry for what we did in our heart and admit quietly within that we were wrong, and then He forgives us. But if you ask someone else to forgive you, you're putting them into the role of God. You're asking them to play God. And your ego is kind of getting lowering itself before them, and you're tempting them to play God. See how that works? You're tempting them to play God. So never ask someone, never say, "Can you forgive me?" or "Can you ever forgive me?" Never say that. So you apologize. Let's say I just stepped on someone's toe, and they said, "Hey, you stepped on my toe." And I said, "No, I didn't." Then I go away and I realize that was wrong. I stepped on their toe. So I come back and say, "You know, I did step on your toe. I'm sorry. I apologize." That's it. Just say what you did. Say you're sorry. And then take leave. It's that simple. That way you clear the air. But if you ask them, "Can you ever forgive me?" See, a lot of men, you know, they did something that wasn't right. And the wife caught him. See, and then the man says, "Oh, can you ever forgive me?" No, 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 no. That's not the way to do it. First of all, you see that you're wrong. First of all, you have to see that you're wrong and be sincere. If you go and say, "Well, if I did anything to offend you," you see how phony that is? Or "if I did something." See, that's phony. So you see, and it has to be sincere. It can't be that you're just apologizing because you don't want to lose your perks. You want to restore peace and you want to be popular. See, you want to be liked. Those aren't good enough. It's got to be sincere. Okay? But let's say you see in your heart that it was wrong. Then you go to the person, let's say it's your wife, and you said, look, I did this, and I see now that it's wrong, and I apologize. I'm sorry. From now on, things are going to be different. See? From now on, I see what I did, and it was wrong, and I'm sorry, I apologize, and from now on, things are going to be different. See? Then you go about your business. You go to work. You take care of things. You're a father. You're a husband. See? You go about your business. But if you say, can you ever forgive me? Then you're tempting her to play God over you. See? That's not good. So you apologize for what you did and say, from now on, things are going to be different. I wasn't the man I should have been, but from now on, things are going to be different. And then on with the show. Then you move forward. Okay? All right. Well, I hope you've enjoyed today's lecture on how to apologize and clear the air. And I've written some books. I have some chapters on it in my books on relationships, and also in my book about parenting, and in my book Becoming a Friend of God. I have chapters on repentance, on how to be sorry and clear the air with your Creator within, and also how to apologize to other people and be sorry. And I think you'll enjoy those readings. Thank you very much.